Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with John Dansu, who is the CEO of Ideology. Hi, John. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for letting us chat with you.
So here's a question. You operate in the identity and age verification space, and I know that that is the core foundation of the products and services that you provide. You've been around since 2003, but specifically, help us understand what problems you solve and for whom.
From the standpoint of Ideology, we provide identity verification, but also with the fraud platform, and that's one of the differentiators that we've really brought forward over the last 5 years or so. We solve a very horizontal problem of validating that someone is who they say they are in a consumer not present transaction. So that can be on the web, in a call center, and we do that across multiple industries. Clearly, we're significant players in financial services, alternative financial, and more so in healthcare and retail commerce and so forth. But in essence, the problem that we're solving, and that problem has really evolved over the last couple of years relative to the issues with data breaches and the creation of what we call a perfect identity, which is basically that people have stolen data on you and they're able to utilize that data.
So what makes you different? There are lots of providers that claim to be able to authenticate a user in a consumer not present environment. What are the technologies or the tactics that you use that actually make what you provide different?
So let's start with kind of the broad culture of Ideology. So first of all, we're a very innovative company in the marketplace. We're viewed by our customers as a company that helps them understand their problems and help solve their problems. We provide very high service levels by understanding our customers' issues and also being domain experts in certain areas. And this may sound a little corny, but we really love our customers. We want to make sure that we serve them. But we do all that with a really dynamite product or solution in the marketplace. And that product is, in essence, focused on what we believe is the real issue with our customers today, and that is trying to validate legitimate customers, and whether that be an account origination or step-up authentication, with nominal friction, right? With all the fraud that's happening in the market today, our customers are really concerned with making sure that they're able to authenticate, approve their customers in a friction-free way and basically drive customer acquisition and drive revenue. Now, we do that through our product through multiple ways. And I had mentioned before the topic of perfect identity. I think it might make sense to kind of discuss that because it's a real driving issue. Today, if all you do is basically say, here's data, and you match it, and you say, hey, the person's name matches their street address and their social's okay, that's no longer sufficient. And the reason for that is because fraudsters today basically have that information, right? They know my name, my address, my social, my universe. So in order to provide a friction-free environment in a customer authentication, not only do you need to validate the data of that individual, but you also need to figure out, is that John actually requesting this transaction or conducting that transaction? And we've built a fraud platform that gives us really strong tools to basically enable that. And the tools that we use there kind of broadly relate to looking at certain identity attributes, but also looking at activity that's happening around the transaction, the device where the transaction is occurring, and location attributes that are occurring around related to the transaction. When you combine all that, you have the ability to basically validate these customers kind of under the covers in a friction-free way and escalate when you see potential fraud to higher levels of verification. And what we do there is very different from what other people are doing in the market.
So who are your customers specifically? Are you selling to issuers? Are you selling to the acquiring side of the business? Who exactly takes what you have and incorporates it into their environment?
Yeah, so we're selling to all those entities. I mean, we're a B2B player, and any place where our customer needs to authenticate their customer, right, the end user customer, that's where our solutions are being utilized today.
So you've been around, as I mentioned, since 2003, when there wasn't a whole lot going on in a consumer not present environment, and now there's tons of activity going on, obviously because of the proliferation of mobile devices. How has your business had to change in order to keep pace with the changing consumer not present environment?
I mean, our business is changing all the time and it's evolving. And one of the things that we do is we talk with our customers frequently about the issues that they're seeing so we can help be innovative and put features and functions in our product that address how things have changed. You know, clearly, the issue that I talked about with the perfect identity and all the data breaches is something that's really been a prevalent issue over the last, call it, 3 to 4 years. I don't think that issue is going to get any easier. It's only going to get worse. Fraudsters continue to utilize new tools. They're very creative. They're smart as can be. And we need to be able to develop tools that put roadblocks in front of them relative to, you know, stopping them able to open accounts and conduct, you know, commerce.
So is it possible to even think about a perfect identity in a world where the fraudsters just seem to monitor all that we're doing and all those roadblocks we're trying to put in front of them and seem to be pretty adaptable and flexible? They manage to find the weakest link. How is it possible to think in terms of a perfect identity in that situation?
Well, they do, and they'll go to the spot that's the easiest place to penetrate and drive revenue for their business, okay? So what we need to do, when you look at identity and the process that we do, first of all, it's multi-layered, right? We want to put barriers in front of people that basically force them to not continue to probe with in that customer, right? They move on to something else. They'll try to move on to an area that's easier. In fact, we see that. You know, we see where we'll stop people and then they'll go to other customers that maybe the rules are not as stringent or they don't have the right recommendations in place. So we see actually them move from place to place. And one of the things that's really key relative to stopping fraud is collaboration. And our network today, all of our customers are within the ideology network, and we actually share data among all of us. So we can actually see the fraud move from company A to company B to company C, all within a matter of. And when you get risk people in a room, they clearly want to be highly competitive when it comes to doing customer acquisition. But when it comes to fraud and risk, companies are really willing to collaborate, and they understand that collaboration is a really key, important metric to stop the fraud. And ideology serves as a hub for that collaboration among all of our customers. And that has been very impactful relative to stopping the fraud and forcing it to move to other places.
That's interesting. So I know collaboration and sharing of data is a pretty hot topic in the news today. Lots of people for it, lots of people perhaps not so in favor. Where do the lines stop and start in terms of the collaboration, the hub that you described? What things is everyone comfortable sharing, and what things still remain proprietary to the individual customers who obviously all want to solve the same problem?
Yeah, well, let me say, without going into too much detail, let me say that we don't really share data. We have a mechanism that gives people the ability to see what's happening at other places, and we're the conduit for all that data, right? So we have it. Company A is not sharing data with Company B, but they're seeing the impact of repeated transactions that are happening across the network. So we're extraordinarily concerned with consumer data and protecting that data and making sure that it's not misused and our system has lots of controls relative to that process. But I think the end result of this is that it does very effectively work and it stops the fraud. So when it comes to, you know, how do we kind of all work together relative to protecting consumer identities, right, which we think is an obligation of ours. We also think it's an obligation of our companies and our customers, and they do too. And one of the ways of protecting customer identities is to make sure that those identities aren't misused. And the ability for us to basically stop transactions and the misuse of these identities is, in essence, protecting those consumers from misuse.
Got it. You must have observed so much about the cyber criminal over the period of time that you have been at this. You mentioned a few things that you've observed as characteristics of the cyber criminal. You know, they do exploit the weakest link, and we know that it's truly a business. Cybercrime is, in fact, a business. I'd be curious to get other observations from you about the business of cybercrime as you've watched it evolve over these many years.
I think it's profitable. I think it's also
organized.
Yeah. it's organized, right? It's a belief for these people relative to how they do it. I think we often wish that they put their time and energy into more productive uses, because some of the things that we see are incredibly creative and smart. They're long-term planners, right? They'll do things to basically prepare themselves to commit fraud at later dates. So, and they're, you know, smart as can be. With that said, I think that we have good tools relative to, you know, ferreting out that activity. And, you know, we tell our customers, and it's really important, it's just not one tool that stops this stuff, right? You have to have layers, you have to have multiple tools that basically help. And those tools relate, you know, not only to customer acquisition. And, you know, one of the things that we think is really important is that to stop the fraud, you stop it up front, right? That you go through the process of basically validating individuals before you conduct business with them. That protects the real consumer identities, and it stops the misuse of those identities. And if you can stop it up front, then you don't have to worry about catching it later, right? But with that said, you also need to have multiple layers, right? So it's not only a customer acquisition, but it's also in transaction processing and reviews and so forth, that you also need to have the tools to catch it. But I want to emphasize that really what makes us different is we do focus on all that stuff. We get excited about talking about fraud and the tools that we have. But really what we're focused on is making sure that legitimate customer gets through the process in an easy, friction-free way. And, you know, do things and have tools under the covers that happen very quickly, sub-second, that can basically approve a transaction. And then you create friction when you see flags or indicators that basically cause you to pause and step up the authentication.
So, John, you mentioned that your business is always evolving because the environment in which you operate is evolving. And I loved your characterization of the cyber criminal as long-term planners. What are your long-term plans for IDology? What are some of the things that are on your roadmap, things that you're pursuing? Can you give us any clues?
Yeah, well, we have lots that we're working on. So that's kind of the fun part of all this. I mean, we're a really robust, innovative product company that's guided by customer feedback. And so they're going to see lots of neat things from us. One, you'll see us continuing to evaluate fraud trends and then making sure that we give our customers tools to deal with those. You know, our system is all on demand, and it's dynamic. So as fraud changes or evolves, it's pretty simple to go into our system and see what's happening and change rules to address that. So we'll continue to build on that functionality to give, you know, dynamic escalation, dynamic decisioning capabilities to our customers to get the legit customers through to stop the fraud. We also believe that mobile is a very important variable of all of this. And, you know, mobile has differing controls that, or lack of controls, right, in the marketplace today compared to what you do on your desktop or your laptop. And it so prevents a different environment. And fraudsters are pretty skilled at trying to utilize some of those factors to, you know, try to complete transactions and commit theft. So we're focused on mobile in a very significant way. You'll see us establishing a solution that basically gives you the ability to establish a mobile identity that's connected to carrier data, relative device data, and give you the ability to basically establish a persistent mobile identity. And that's will be coming forward in the next couple of months, and something that we've been working on for a long time and really excited about.
Wow. We'll be anxious to hear more as your plans evolve with that. I mean, I agree with you that mobile is really important environment and will become only more important as payments and commerce evolve. Well, John, it's been great to get to know you and IDology and what you guys are focused on. Certainly an important problem and a hard problem, just given the scope and scale of the cyber criminal and how adaptable and flexible they are. But happy hunting and fighting. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.